Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Foxy Digitalis podcast. I'm Brad Rose. It's been a minute. I told you I'd be intermittent, sporadic, all those things, which is funny because now there's going to be new episodes. I think I got 3 weeks in a row there's going to be new ones. Maybe four, actually. No, 4 weeks in a row. Although 1 week I might do two. Anyway, whatever. There's going to be some new ones coming. They're all going to be conversations with people who have rad new records coming out. And that's why we're here today. I'm talking to Domenica Diavalaria. And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. There's a whole thing at the beginning of the interview. Like, I had to try to do an intro 3 times and I still kept getting the name. It was bad news. It was hilarious though. And Domenica seemed to find it even more amusing than I did. So that was great. But she's got a new album, Orange Clearing. It's out, I believe, next week, April 5th, on Eiderdown Records. And it is delightful and creepy in the best possible way. I'm a really big fan of her music. Her last record, Forever Your Sales Girl. Damn, I love that record. And it was one, like, I think she had an EP out before that, but I hadn't heard it. And that showed up in my inbox, and I had no idea what it was. I thought the title was great, and then I listened to it. I was like, oh my God, I love this. This is music that I didn't know I needed to hear, and I listened to it a lot. And then this one, yeah, it's just, Domenica's great, and I had a lot of fun. I don't really have anything else to say. Can you tell I'm out of practice? Oh, geez. But yeah, Orange Clearing, it's out next week. It's on cassette and digital formats on Eiderdown. Has a great cover. Their stuff always looks great. It's always great. And you should absolutely check it out. And now, here's me talking to Domenica. My guest today is Domenica Diavalaria. Yes, nailed it. I'm just going to keep going. That's going straight in.
Yeah, let's do it.
And her new album is called Orange Clearing. Got that right. And It is out on April 5th. And I like it a lot. So we're going to talk about it and all sorts of weird stuff. How's it going?
I am okay. I am in Olympia, Washington. It is very sunny out, and there are birds and stuff, and I have chickens in the backyard that are sunbathing. In case you didn't know, chickens sunbathe.
Love it. I had no idea.
Yes, they do. So they're living their best lives right now. So that's what's going on.
Is Olympia usually, so I lived in Seattle for a year and my wife's from Seattle. Is Olympia usually as gray and rainy as Seattle?
Yes. So
okay.
It's basically, I think there's like reports somewhere that says that it maybe rains a little bit more in one city or the other. I don't mind. I like it. I'm very fond of it. It's very conducive for music and stuff. So yeah.
I always remember when I lived in Seattle, like the first day in the spring when the sun came out, it was like everybody was out. It was just,
oh yeah, everybody's gonna get totally naked, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it that way.
Anyway. Well, cool. For some reason I didn't realize you were in Olympia. I knew you were up in near Seattle, but I don't know why. Yeah. I wanted to move to Olympia when I was like a teenager and really into
killer rock stars. Yeah. But, I can imagine why.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about your new record because it comes out in a few weeks. First I want to talk about the video.
Okay.
And I want to talk about the creepy baby.
All right, let's do it.
Why? I mean, it's so good. It's so creepy. You told me like, oh, it's really creepy, but you undersold it. It is so creepy. Like,
are we talking about the baby or the video in general or both?
The baby. I mean, the video itself has got like a creepy vibe, but then it's like the baby shows up and it's like, oh shit, we're. I'm just curious. Like, talk to me about sort of the concept behind it and why the baby? Why the creepy baby?
So the song is Artificial Limb Reliquary, and that's the name of the video. I should say, just for the record, directed by Amethyst D. Wolf. I first saw her video work when I think it was the Seattle musician named Scott Yoder. I saw his video and it was really, really good. I was like, oh my God, I totally love what she's doing. She's into kind of, her videos have a lot of ornate, creepy, eerie stuff. You know, like pretty but ornate, which is kind of my deal. Yeah. Pretty but disturbing and ornate. Like,
yeah, no, it's, I love it.
But so why, you know, the video itself, oh gosh, I have to go back to the beginning of our creative process because it was very much a collaboration, Amethyst and I. As far as the concept, I think I was just like, I really like gothic horror, Euro horror, you know, slash Euro horror movies. Mm-hmm. I want to do something like that. And yeah, I don't even know exactly how we came up with that, except that, like, I think originally it was going to be a series of kind of interesting symbolic things that didn't necessarily make sense. So I think she kind of forced more of a narrative that to the point where she's like, okay, well, this is kind of about motherhood because listeners, I'm a newish mother. I have a baby. Well, she's a toddler. So I think it's kind of about that, but originally I didn't want it to be too obviously about that, but it kind of became about that, but also just, I wanted a creepy baby. And my husband made it, Jonathan Grosvenor. He's a trained puppeteer. He says, in his words, he thinks it's a bit naff. But I don't think so. Oh gosh. You know, I honestly can't remember. It feels like a world ago that we came up with the concept, but it kind of just was a jumble of ideas that turned into like a narrative, and it was very collaborative. But it's also, I will say in general, it's also kind of just like the album, it's kind of about Seattle because it was filmed there. It's about, I guess I don't want to overexplain it, and I'm going
on. Okay, that's fair.
It's just like the album, I don't want to overexplain it, but it is about, it's kind of a Seattle album, sort of, Seattle video.
Can I ask where in Seattle it was mostly filmed, or is that?
Discovery Park. Outside part was filmed at Discovery Park. The inside part was like a house, like some punk house that I was on a previously unacquainted with. That was super cool. But yeah, like the inner part, I deliberately wanted it to have the gothic horror kind of motif of, usually in those kind of movies, there's a Victorian woman like wandering around, usually in a nightgown. In my case, right. You know, like kind of ornate, flowy white. Mm-hmm. I just wanted that. Creepy halls and lit, like usually there's candelabra involved. Yeah, it was about that. So yeah,
awesome. I have a lot of fond memories of Discovery Park, so I was
I've barely been there. The parts of Seattle I lived in, I feel like Ballard was always a pain in the butt to get to, especially Discovery Park, because you have to go through like, it's kind of a rigmarole to get there. So I didn't actually go there that often, honestly, but
I think so. When I lived there, which this was, over 20 years ago now, good Lord.
Oh my goodness.
I know I'm old. But we lived on Capitol Hill, and I think it was, I still remember, it's like you took the 8 to Ballard, or no, you took the 8 to Queen Anne, and then you, I don't know. Now, see, I don't remember.
See, never it's a, yeah, it's really, that's a particularly difficult place to get to, like Magnolia. I don't think I ever even went to Magnolia. But also, that's like Richie Rich area. Why would you go to Magnolia? I don't know.
I think I, maybe not. I don't know. Because I worked, this is, people are really excited about this conversation, I'm sure. Anybody living in Seattle is going to be like, oh yeah.
I work in the U District. I'm always excited to hear about I personally am always excited to hear about the intricacies of Seattle bus networks and like,
oh my God. Yeah,
I love it. I don't care.
When we lived there, like I didn't have a car. We didn't have a car. So it was, and which was really weird for me moving from Tulsa because our transit system is like trash. Like I know people always complain about the Seattle transit system when I was there, but I'm like, you have no idea.
Oh no, I can imagine. I know some things about Oklahoma. I'm sure public works are not on their high list of
no. Far priority. More interested in book banning and like things like
I want to ask you about the we could go on about it, but apparently there's a really weird museum in Oklahoma City that's like not a museum but some like a propaganda for capitalist venture that like anyway we can go on about it but
anyway, oh I don't know about sorry, this
you're going off topic I'm so sorry yeah, I'll send you a message about okay
I told you this is going to go off the rails so we're starting early
I'm into really anyway. Creepy weird museums I'm sure that's going to come up a lot in this
yeah like, I love so museums, I mean so. I so that like one of the things I really like about your like and this is going to sound like your music is creepy as hell like in the best way I mean that in the best way and in a way that like not a lot of people's stuff is because like I find it very it I don't know I kind of get lost in it and I'm not a big like horror person at all but like your music is in that sweet spot for me that's like and I think part of it with this record, at least for me, and it taught, and I know you probably didn't write the description that's on the label website, and I'm not saying the label name because I can never know how to pronounce it. I always pronounce it.
Eiderdown.
Okay. See, that's what I thought it was, but then I heard somebody say Eiderdown, and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Interesting.
So, anyway, okay. But I don't know. Like the description talks about like there's a lot of mention of like. Playfulness and play like and I think that is why like I respond to that in music very and I think that like I don't know I don't know where I'm going with this but your music is creepy but it's also it's also like there is a playfulness to it like it's not like horrorcore or something I don't even know if I know
I think of you know the solo stuff by the Wolf Eyes guy, Nate Young. His stuff is kind of like that. I don't know if that's horrorcore, mm-hmm. but that's what I think of when you say that. And I definitely have liked that a lot in the past. But anyway, thank you. It's interesting. I remember when this was done, I was like telling people, I'm like, this is the more accessible phone album. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is still really. I can't help it. It's just my soul is. That way it's what is the classic Lydia from Beetlejuice thing my heart is a haunted you know so I forget you probably
know I know what you're talking about I can't remember the exact quote either but yes
I can't help it
so have Even you is supposed, it always
it's supposed to be about it's supposed to be about like you know like I was really influenced by the idea of just play and fun and primary colors and you know because I basically was most of it was made when I was pregnant and in the immediate postpartum period and mixed then so it's supposed to be the more like fun and you know like influenced by like kind of like the kind of creative energy of childhood you know what I mean and kind of like the fun primary color-y kind of what that probably makes sense to me but yet it's still haunted house.
Well, I mean, that's what I think is because I totally get that. And I think because I mean, like I said, my kid's 10, so it's been a while since I was in the when she was a baby phase but like this combination of it's like thinking about childhood and seeing it from the age I am now. So it's like I have these ideas of like those primary colors and like, cause that's like a very visceral thing. And I think of like fun houses and ball pits and
ball pits. Yeah.
But like now it's like all tinged with this, I don't know, like, it's not as fantastical to me, or it's because, like, I don't know. I'm like, God, there's something creepy about some of this shit. Like,
that's the thing about, I was about to say, like, they're not these disparate ideas, because childhood is also creepy as heck, because they're kind of, you know, these burgeoning humans are, you know, they're like confronting, like, that element of human nature, I guess, too. So they're, you know, it's scary. And I mean, you can look back at the original fairy tales, and that's kind of what's the inspiration partly for the video too, is it is kind of like, it's definitely like original fairy tale, like a bit like a Jacques Demy movie situation. Mm. I don't know if you've seen his stuff, like a Donkey Skin and stuff. Where's that kind of feeling too? Like, it's playful, it's fun, but it's also terrifying and danger lurks.
Right. Yeah. I think those are, again, stuff that comes from like this place of like contrasts, like that is so, I find myself drawn to it all the time. And I think this album nails it.
Thank you.
So have you always been like, where does your sort of love of horror and those stuff, has that always been a thing as long as you can remember?
Well, Brad, I think about this a lot. So I think about why I am the way I am a lot. And there are certain things in my life that have been around a long time. It kind of comes back to our nurture nature thing. It's like, how mm-hmm. much of your personality is innate? How much of it is like absorbed from various things? But I think there is certainly a part of me that very early on was really into scary things. It's just really early on, like, I had these instances where, like, I thought I saw dead bodies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, in various instances when I was a kid. I know that sounds really weird, but, like, it was very, I had a really strong imagination, which I guess I still do, obviously. And, like, I very vividly thought I saw these things, but obviously I didn't. And then I kind of took that path of eventually becoming the kid who was, like, really wanted to see horror movies, you know. And I'm also, I think we've talked about this, I am also probably around your age, and I was obsessed with the VHS covers at the video store. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And I was like,
formative stuff.
I have to see April Fool's Day, you know, the box with the lady who has that braid down her back that's like shaped like a noose. To me, that was like fixated in my brain, you know, Monkey Shines. And and then, like, one of the first movies I remember, I was like begging my dad to let me watch The Fog, and he let me watch it. And I was scared, but I loved it. You know, mm-hmm. it's not an unusual story. I mean, I don't think many women have this story, but, right. And then kind of, I don't know. It's just always been with me. And now, like, a lot of these movies really resonate with me, but I have a complicated relationship with it, where I'm not one of those people that's like into like true crime so much or things like that. I've especially the last 15 years or so, I've really gravitated to the Euro horror, giallos, and I think they're very influential on my music and art in general, like the garish colors and just over the top filmmaking and ornateness. Mm-hmm. You know, like movies like, there's this movie called The House That Screamed with like schoolgirls and like a French schoolgirls in a Victorian mansion. You know, one gets killed one after the other. It's like late 70s, mid 70s, you know, just stuff like that, where it's like, once again, candelabras and like hyper stylization. That's kind of the stuff that really resonates with me. But I think just all the darker things have always kind of appealed to me. Like, I was obsessed with, like, things like abandoned places when I was a kid, and, like, things that were boarded up, and, like, I'm like, I don't know what it means, but that's how it is, yeah. I don't know! That's just who I am!
I always was really interested in like abandoned places and like decaying places and going places. Everything about the place was telling me I shouldn't go there. I was like a moth to a flame. It's like, oh, okay, I want to go there and see what's, I don't know.
And like, you're like, oh, it's definitely haunted.
Right.
You know, you're always like, oh, it's always haunted. Those places are always haunted.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it's like one of those things, like horror obsessions. I think one has. But yeah, anyway, I think that's my.
To me, it's like another, I don't know, it's just another kind of fantasy world. It's just.
Oh, totally.
You know, darker. Sort of. I don't know. When did you start like making music, like writing your own music and stuff? How long has that been? Have you been doing that?
Yeah. So I started, So it was 2020, 2021 or so. I think the unusual thing about me is that I started really late. So mm-hmm. I was like 37 when I started doing music. It's not the first time in my life I had ever done anything. Like I had dabbled in like a band with my husband where we played a few ill-fated kind of awkward gigs in Seattle. Like I grew up in I grew up playing in orchestras and have always been obsessed with music and would try to write music occasionally when I was younger. Like I had a 4-track recorder and just got super frustrated with like the thing with 4-tracks where you can't get it to like play at the right speed. I never could figure that out because, you know, like I get frustrated with technical things and I had a guitar and I was like trying to have a band. So it's like I had all these aspirations for most of my life. And then, I was 37. Yeah, 37. And I had a job. It was deep COVID and I had a job that was really depressing. And I was able to take a few months off from it. And I was like, I'm going to make music. I'm 37, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure this out because I was always really intimidated by making it because I wanted to make a certain type of music. I wasn't totally sure what it was or what I wanted to do, but I knew it was electronic. So I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Like there's a huge barrier as far as learning that music. It's not easy, especially if you're getting to modular, even regular synths. Like, you're like, what's a VCF? What the heck is this?
Right.
And like, how am I going to learn how to use a DAW? Like, and that's expensive. And, you know, it's not easy. People make it seem like it is. And I guess you could do the Olympia route of banging on a random, you know, a beat happening style. I guess I could have just found a random, like, old bucket and started banging on it. That's what, I don't know. There's kind of a Olympia approach.
But I mean, if that's not what's, I get it. You have something in your mind, like that your head that you want to get out. And if it's not that, then how fulfilling is that?
Really? It's not. It wasn't that. Even though I did have a huge, like, kind of lo-fi K Records phase back in the day. But anyway, I knew I wanted to make electronic music. I actually didn't know if it was going to be dance at first. But then I found every time I tried to do dance music, I found myself getting bored as much as I love it. It may still happen. But anyway, I just really sat down and was like, I'm going to learn this. Like, and it was, I have a really hard time with technical stuff. So like, it's just the way my brain works that it was a challenge. It still is a challenge. I still have to, like, I still have trouble with like, okay, with modular, it's gate to CV. Wait, how do you do that? Well, you know, it's just, it's not easy. And for me, some people, I'm jealous of people who understand it, but. So anyway, that's kind of it. Like late bloomer, but I've done well, I think.
So I should know this if I was like a proper journalist or something. But was Forever your sales? Was that your first album?
Yeah. And then there was like my first EP, which I'm kind of considering just deleting because it's like, you know, I'm like, that was a long time ago, man. That was my first actual album. That was an obscure and terrible records by Josh. Yeah. Josh and Cole's label.
That's awesome. Cause I really like that record too. I think that's how we met is cause I wrote about it. maybe.
Yeah, you wrote. I think they must have sent you the. They probably sent you the thing, and you're like, "What's this?"
Yeah, well, it's like, it's such about it. It's such a great title that it immediately, because I get a lot of promos, but as soon as I saw the title, I was like, I want to listen to this because this is intriguing. And then it didn't sound anything like I thought it would, and that made me like it.
I love that. That's very intentional. Like, I really like, I really enjoy, what's it called? Subverting expectations. And yeah. I think I was being a bit sort of cheeky by calling it that because it's a Paula Abdul reference. So I'm like, which is kind of embarrassing in retrospect, but I also thought it was funny. So.
Awesome.
I think but also fit with
it. That's part of why I love it is because it's a Paula Abdul reference. And I,
which was I my did, first, and, that was my first CD. So yeah.
Well, there you go. I recorded a Songs of Our Lives episode earlier today and we were talking about how much we love ABBA. So, you know, I got,
oh yeah. No I love shame. Pop. I'm not even no shame whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. So subverting expect. I thought that was awesome. Cause I was expecting it to be this like, I don't know, like vapor wavy kind of thing or something. And even though it can't like the label was on, I don't associate those two things at all, but, no, which would have been even weirder in a different way. But so like Orange Clearing is another, like to me, the title and then the music, there is this, that again, like Orange Clearing to me evokes like this very vivid, I mean, it is somewhat because it's, you know, we talked about that like sort of ornate, like, I don't know, maybe it's just the color orange. I don't know. I associate
it's my
orange.
Favorite color.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go. Yes.
My orange. Favorite color.
Awesome.
I got sparkly orange nails that the listeners can't see.
Yes. And we just adopted two orange cats. So there we go.
Best color.
Yes. But yeah, is there a story or something behind the name that at least that you're willing to share? Because I know you said you don't want to give too much away.
Sure. I don't mind. I think when I'm doing my music, I'm drawing on just a well of all kinds of like random impressionistic abstract ideas in my head. And a lot of it is based on, I'd say, been based on childhood stuff. Like core memories, and one of my earliest memories and one of my weirdest early memories, was, so I grew up partly in South Florida, extremely influential on me. I feel like a lot of what I'm doing is influenced by the extremely weird environment that is South Florida. I had my EP Archipelago is about it. But anyway, there was this memory where, my grandmother lived, it was in North Miami Beach. And like, I think I was in her backyard once and we like went out through her backyard and it turned into this long winding path through this weird park. And then eventually it got to this different park where there was a clearing and there's this giant like red chair sculpture thing. And I was like, did I dream that? Did I right. dream that? And she had oranges in her backyard or something. And I remember her pears or something. So I'm like, did I dream that? Like, and I have this thing about, I really like, I think I just like sculpture in weird places. And I like, what's it called? Not kind of weird land art type stuff. So in my head, this is like this core memory of like weird, abstract, like vivid colors. And like, did it actually happen? And also, yeah, that's what the video is about too. I should mention that. I forgot about that. That was part of what's going on there. Yeah, I mean that's basically the kind of meaning of it. Even though I know I said it's my Seattle album, only sort of kinda. So yeah, there you go. That's the deal.
Yeah, I don't know why, like it really resonates this. Yeah. Maybe because it sounds.
I really hope. I think the thing about when I do my music, I like it to inspire people's imagination. Like it's supposed to be kind of abstract and impressionistic for a reason with the titles and the sounds. I hope it inspires people's imagination. So, you know, the titles hopefully does that. So yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, again, like. hearing you say all this, I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I respond to this so well, because like that's the kind of stuff I try to do with my music, is I want it. Like, this thing I love about sound is it can create these worlds out of.
Exactly. That's what I love about it. Obviously.
And it's different for, so I am curious, like when you are like writing a song, working on a song, does it, like, how does it start? Does it start with like a picture in your head or an idea in your head, like a sound in your head, or is it just depends? No.
It's a really weird, I don't know what other people's process is like. I have no idea, but I mess around until I hear a sound I like.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, you know, I have my thing open and I'm recording sounds from various sources, or I'm just messing around. It's play, really.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I like that. And then somehow I build these songs out of it, and some of them are quite good. And I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen? I don't even know.
I love that. No, I love that. I think,
that's it. It's random. It's play. It's me messing around, honestly.
I think there is such a, because I do that a lot too. Like lately I've been making a lot more music with like samples and stuff like that rather than using any synths, but it's the same thing of just like, oh, let me load this thing up and see what this sounds like. Nope, nothing there. Okay, let me try this. See if that.
Yeah.
And other times, like I will get some picture in my head or something and be like, okay, how can I create this with a sound? And then, but then that leads me to, okay, let's go through all the stuff and find the sound that the thing that sounds like this picture in my head, which I don't know. It makes no sense to anybody but me.
And, oh, well, same. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, there's a bit of that too. I think I do. It isn't totally just random. I think there are some ideas there, but mm-hmm. I don't sit down and I'm like, oh yeah, this is about this. And I'm going to try to.
Right.
It just comes out. But yeah, everything's deeply manipulated, extremely manipulated.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, I like to think of it as the, like Emeril, you know, the TV chef dude mm-hmm. who's like throwing all those ingredients on. He's like, bam! Bam! Very dated reference.
I taught myself an effect.
Bam!
I taught myself to cook watching Emeril and Bobby Flay on Food TV when I was like 20 years old.
Well, at least, you know, that's good. And you know how to cook.
I cook dinner every night. So
very nice.
Yeah. I don't know what we were. Sorry, that totally.
I just saying, like, a lot of times when I'm making music, I feel like Emeril.
Yeah. I love it. That's the best.
Wait, am I remembering correctly? How often does he deploy the like special BAM sauce or whatever it is? Does he do a lot, or is it just?
I think it was like at least. I don't know if it was one. Well, the when one show just I remember.
Say it.
I think it is. It's like the Simpsons meme. You know, it's like everybody looking at it, say the line. I don't know. The funny thing is then, like, I don't know, like, years later, apparently he's, because he seems like this, I don't know shit about Emeril Lagasse, let me just be clear here, but he always seemed like this sort of caricature of a chef, but apparently he's, like, highly revered, and people love him, and he's apparently a wonderful person.
We saw him on Top Chef a few seasons back.
Yeah.
So he must be still, like, at it. He's legit.
Yeah.
I think he has sauce. And
I think I even read something like during COVID, he kept like paid all his people and made sure everybody was taken care of. And so I can respect.
Okay. That, well, good. I didn't inadvertently reference some like anti-vax.
Right. MAGA. Some horrible. Yeah. This is going to get you canceled. I'm a big fan of Emeril. Oh God. I don't know. He's a big Trumper. Anyway,
no. Okay, good. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
You hear to hear.
And if I've made all this up, then whatever. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. I've completely lost my train of thought now. This is great.
Also, I'm just reflecting. No, on this Emeril. Is.
Yeah. I wish more of my interviews ended up talking about. Like early 2000s TV chefs, because that was
I will say on my first album, I was very proud that I sampled Juice Man. I'm obsessed with Juice Man. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I don't know what I need to. He's
an infomercial juicer guy who had like the bushy white eyebrows. It's like a beloved object of mine is like a Juice Man tape. Anyway, I'm sure some of the listeners will know what I'm talking about. Juice Man.
I'm gonna look up Juice Man after this.
Good.
I remember the OxyClean guy. What is this? Billy Mays. He died. Oh man, he was like there was a documentary about him. Maybe 10 years ago now. I don't know. Anyway, he was beloved infomercial guy who died.
I should know. I probably even know his face.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you probably would. He kind of looks like Emerald with a beard. That's
Okay. Yeah, I'll look him up, OxyClean guy. All right.
I'm gonna look. Okay, yeah. You look up him, and I'll look up Juice Man. Okay. And
I'm writing this down. Okay.
And yeah. Okay. Well, I've completely lost my train of thought. Let's see. What else is there? Anything else about the album that you think people should know? What was the hardest part about making this one?
And the editing took forever. Yeah, I think it was easier with the first one, but the better I get, the more time it takes. All the EQing.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
What a pain.
If I ever won the lottery, I would totally just pay someone to do it. Here.
It took forever. I remember months going on with me editing these tracks. And I still, like, I'm still totally happy with some of the sound sometimes because, like, I wish somebody would sit down with me and be like, okay, you need to do this and this. And like, as far as, like, kind of, like, basic kind of, like, recording techniques and stuff. Because I'm basically a better musician. I'm doing my best. I'm trying. I'm trying to think of something nicer to end, like, what do I want people to know? I don't know. I'm just so happy to maybe making music and don't give up. You know, be like an old fogey like me doing this for the first time. It could happen to you. You too could be on an obscure experimental cassette label that no one has heard of. Widerdown's awesome. I think renowned. I mean, as far as
I like them a lot. I don't know. I have such a skewed concept.
I know, me too. To me, they're famous in a
right. I'm like, oh, you're on a big label, and then I tell anybody who I know in Tulsa, like, oh yeah, this thing on internet. What the fuck are you talking about?
To be fair, nobody around here
has a clue what I'm doing. They're like, what do you do? I don't understand your.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to try to explain what people are like. Yeah, you make music. I'm like,
what does it sound like?
I mean, it's, I just say electric, I don't know, ambient electronic or something hard.
I was, so I, every day I go on a walk through my neighborhood. It's a thing that I started doing a couple years ago for my health. And recently there's another guy who I've seen him for like a year, but he, you know, we'd wave at each other and have just like, hey, how's it going? I don't know. A couple weeks ago, he decided to turn around and like, talk to me and walk with me, and which around here can be a little scary sometimes because it's like, oh God, what are you gonna, but super nice guy. And he was asking like, you know, what do you do? And I'm trying to explain it to it. And he was asking about my music. He's like, so is it, you know, I'm like, oh, it's kind of experimental, you know, it's electronic kind of, I don't know. You know, he's like, oh, is it more like Pink Floyd or more like Fish?
No. Oh. I mean, it could have been worse fame or references, but I have to know what you said, though.
I think I said somewhere in between. But hey, that was a better frame of reference for like this. I mean, you know, he's like in his 60s, and he's, you know, which I'm closer to being in my 60s than I am my 20s, so I shouldn't say anything. But like, I was like, hey, that's, you're trying. But I never know what to say when people, I hate when people who aren't like have no concept of whatever this world is. And it's not a like, oh, I don't want to. It's like I'm still trying to figure out a way to bring more people into it, because it's like one of those things where I firmly believe that if a lot of this kind of music, maybe not all of it, but a lot of quote unquote experimental music, if more people, I think more people would be into it if they just knew it existed. I think like people like, oh, this is, you know, this is interesting. This is pretty. This makes me think, you know, whatever. But it's hard to.
To be fair, it's not me. I'm not like making harsh noise or something. It's not.
Right.
But yeah, I also don't want to be snooty. I really always in my everything in my endeavors, I try not to be snooty because.
Same.
You know, I just genuinely love music and I don't want to make it seem like I'm better than anyone or like, or that I'm like, oh, well, my stuff is blah, blah, blah. Just because I've encountered something in my life.
Right. Gatekeeping sucks, period.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Always. Gatekeeping.
It's, ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah, so I just, electronic, experimental, and, you know, I mean, you never know what people know or don't know, but, you know, I think it's a reasonable assumption most people probably don't. But that's okay, you know. But you're right. I mean, if people, who knows? I don't know. I don't want to make grand generalizations.
Yeah, but hey, music. It's for everybody who, you know. I mean, it's not for everybody, but like it is. Mm-mm. It could be. It's been a long week. Like I said. Okay. Well, I don't know what else to say. This was actually a lot of fun. I love that we talked about Emeril and. That's the only thing I can remember that we talked about.
Late 90s, early 2000s TV is.
Yes. I mean,
I could go on in the 90s. Well, the 90s in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Music. I really. Listen, one last thing about the music video. I think music videos are extremely important to me. I kind of didn't have a life when I was young, so I just watched MTV and MTV2. And so, yeah. Having like a full blown music video, I really wanted Kurt Loder to do like introduction, Matt Pinfield, like,
oh my
from
gosh.
Like, and now a new debut from Domenica Diavalaria. You know what I mean? Like,
that'd be amazing.
I want to be in 120 minutes.
Oh my god, that 120 minutes was so like one of the most formative things in my life.
Oh yeah, and they had Amp too. They briefly had this show called Amp that was like electronic music. That's how I got introduced to all kinds of stuff.
I remember that. I vaguely remember it. I started out watching Headbangers Ball when I was like 10. That was because then Nirvana happened and like that
washed it all away.
And yeah, and like, and literally, you know, I am a cliche. It changed my entire life. Like when Nirvana came along and learning about. Like, that's how I learned about K Records and Kill Rock Stars. And
yeah, he, like, didn't he have the K logo on, like, tattooed on him or something?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And he talked, and then I read this book, which actually, like, a new version of it just came out that Michael Azarod, I don't know how to say his name, but it was like a biography of Nirvana. And it talked about, like, he was in a band with Toby Vail, and it talked about all these things. And it was, as a voracious fan of music who was, I think I was in like sixth or seventh grade at the time, I was just like, oh my god, I want to know, hear all of these things. I need to know all of this stuff.
And then we come back to the original thing you were saying about you wanted to move to Olympia.
And that's exactly, yeah.
That's where I currently reside, and that's where there are chickens who are sunbathing in the backyard.
All right. Hope you had fun, as much fun with that as I did. Again, Orange Clearing out April 5th. Pre-order it now. You won't be disappointed. Things are all happening over at Foxy D all the time. You should join the Patreon. It's fun. And there's all sorts of fun stuff going on over there. Songs of Our Lives is rolling along. Everything's rolling along. I don't know. Hey, new Jewel Garden. compilation, Foxy D fundraiser compilation, whatever, should be out in about a month. So that's cool. And it's fun. I don't know. I should probably stop talking and just move on and let you get back to your life. But hey, in the meantime, the sound is for everyone.